Right, good evening. Thank you very much for coming out on this horrid evening. I did think I might be here on my own tonight, to be honest, but it's good to see you here. I feel quite nervous, as per usual. It's partly standing up in front of people you know, isn't it, to talk to them. It's quite different to just chatting to you down there. But I actually genuinely believe that God has got something to say to us this evening. That's not because I'm anything special and that I hear particularly from God, but I just think this is such a crucial subject, dealing with your past hurts. For those of you that were there this morning, it was quite a powerful and intense session, really, with Chris. If you weren't there, I would normally encourage you to listen again, but you can't, because he'd asked for it not to be recorded, so I'm afraid you won't be able to do that. But I really feel that God has got something to say to us as a fellowship on this subject, and I believe that he's got something to say to us this evening. I've chosen one verse that I was going to read to start off with, and in the way that God has of doing these things, the verse I've chosen is Revelation 3, verse 20, which says this: "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him, stroke her, and he, stroke she, with me." And you might think, well, what's that got to do with dealing with past hurts? But as I've been thinking about this subject, that verse came to mind, and it's, for me, it's a picture of how God deals with us. So I believe this evening there's an invitation to us, wherever you are, in terms of if you are dealing with past hurts, whether you just want to hear some more about it. I don't know what you've come here expecting this evening, but I believe God has got something to say to each one of us, whether it's specific to that topic or something else. I do realise that you're not supposed to pick out single verses and extrapolate from them. And that particular verse is in the context of the letter to the church at Laodicea. Essentially, they're getting a telling off. But it finishes with this passage. It isn't God saying, therefore, I'm going to do X, Y, Z to you. It is, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in. That is the invitation for us this evening. God is standing at the door, knocking. He wants to come in. So a couple of things that I'd like to say as we sort of set off on this topic for the next few minutes. It may not be that long this evening, but we'll see where we go. But to kind of set out my stall on where I'm coming from with this dealing with past hurts. So the first thing I would say is I personally do not believe it is ever God's will for us to be hurt. Sure, we debate aspects of theology and other things, but I believe wholeheartedly that God loves us and wants the best for us. And if there is anyone here this evening or listening again, because this is being recorded, who has been told or had it implied that some past hurt or difficulty in your life was somehow God's will for you, then I believe that is untrue. Secondly, I believe it's normal for us to experience hurts of one sort or another as we go through life. There's nothing unusual about that. I'm sure we could all testify to that. And thirdly, whatever we each may have experienced, and I'm conscious that some of you here might have dealt with or be dealing with some really quite difficult things that are still with you, I sincerely believe that healing is available if we're prepared to open ourselves up to God. And I think it's a confirmation that Matt chose that particular verse in his prayer earlier on. I just believe God is here and he's got something to say to each of us this evening. So for those of you that were there this morning, you'll know that Chris spoke very openly and honestly about his experiences of coming to terms with and dealing with hurts in his own life. And I believe, as I said a short while ago, that God, I think, feels as if God wants to do something in this area within the fellowship. There's a reality in this, and I believe there's a willingness within the fellowship, isn't there, to change and to move on and to deal with these things. It's about being honest. It's not living behind masks. And the picture I had when I was preparing for this evening was of an oyster, and in particular a pearl oyster. So you're probably all aware that when an oyster gets a piece of grit or an irritant in its shell, it doesn't have hands to get rid of it. So it secretes layers of mother of pearl around the irritation to smooth it out. And over time, the source of discomfort becomes a thing of beauty. You know, we take it away and use it as jewellery. But from the oyster's point of view, it's smoothing it off. It's not taken away, but it is transformed. And that's what I believe God will do with our hurts if we let him. He doesn't erase our past. What's happened has happened. But he transforms our present and our future. The source of our pain becomes a thing of beauty as we invite God to do a work in our lives. Chris spoke this morning of God holding joy and sorrow in tension at the same time. It's a mystery, isn't it? But it's a reality. Can be a reality for each of us. If I'm honest, I would have to say that I approach tonight's topic with a degree of trepidation. As I said earlier, I'm aware that there will be people listening who have suffered major hurts, may still be struggling with these things. It's a sensitive topic. In terms of my qualifications to speak on this subject, I don't have any. I'm not a counsellor or a therapist. I'm not even especially empathetic. Ask Sarah. I sometimes think, yeah, I'm on the spectrum, but there we go. That's not a joke. But as my friend Paul Mitchell reminded me quite recently, one of my favourite phrases is, you need to get over yourself. Which is probably not one of the ones they teach you in your counselling classes, is it? So as far as this evening goes, first a disclaimer. My talk this evening is not a 7-point plan for dealing with your past hurts, so I apologise in advance if that's what you were hoping for. This is not a mechanistic process, although for some of us it may be appropriate to seek prayer or counselling to deal with deep-rooted issues, or indeed to consider therapy at some point to deal with these things. But I believe God's speaking to our hearts this evening. It's about a change of mind, a change of heart. Maybe the start of a process, or it may be a one-off, but that's where we are. But I think God has given me three particular things that I wanted to share with you this evening. And I believe he does want to speak words of release and freedom for those of you who might be in bondage in this area. And at the end of the service, there will be time to pray. Whether you maybe want to come forward to pray with somebody, or whether you just want to pray with somebody you're sat beside. But I think it's important, also following on from this morning, really, that there is opportunity for us to pray these things through. I personally occasionally look at Facebook. I recently saw one of these meme things on there which said this: never be a prisoner of your past. It was just a lesson, not a life sentence. Never be a prisoner of your past. It was just a lesson, not a life sentence. And I read that and I thought, well, if only it was that simple. Life is not a spectator sport, is it? We're involved in it, whether we like it or not. Even if we simply stand on the sidelines, we can get hurt. And we've been reminded of that directly in quite an awful way fairly recently. You know, we all get hurt through life. I remember back in school days playing football. I was always small and wimpy. I hated football. My main ambition was to get rid of the ball any time it came to me because I didn't want to get tackled. But we were told football is a contact sport, boys. It is acceptable. It's even necessary to make physical contact with opposition players in the course of the game. The best players make their presence felt, metaphorically and literally. Of course, there is a fine line between making your presence felt and committing a foul, and staying on the right side of the law requires a degree of skill. I remember watching my son Elliot growing up. He loves football. He's quite good at it. And when he was 16, he decided not to stay on with his youth team, but to transition to the Clutton village team. And all of a sudden, he was a sort of spindly lad playing with all these 40-year-old blokes. And I said to him, Elliot, you've just got to be careful because those guys are going to take you out. And he said, that's right, Dad, I can just run round them. I said, yeah, but they won't like that and they'll just kick you as you go by. And he went off to university and came back a year or so later. And I went to watch him play and I was looking at the pitch thinking, he's not even on the pitch. And then I gradually became aware that, oh, he is on the pitch, but he's grown up. He's become larger and physical. And I was watching him and he was doing exactly that. He was making his presence felt on the pitch. Just a little nudge here, a little tap there, but it's like, I'm here, boys, and you know, you're not coming past me. But sometimes in football, people get injured. They may injure themselves. They might pull a muscle or twist an ankle. They might concuss themselves by headbutting the goalpost. Or they might be injured by another player. A late tackle might lead to a broken bone. Injuries happen. It's part and parcel of the game of football. And it's the same, isn't it, with regard to life. We grow up, we make our presence felt, but people get hurt. We might hurt ourselves. We might metaphorically headbutt the goalpost. or we might get hurt by other people or by circumstances. But this brings me on to my first point, which is this: there is no shame in being hurt. There is no shame in being hurt. It's inevitable as we go through life that we will experience things which hurt us. This does not mean we've done something wrong or we're out of God's favour. Getting hurt is nothing to be ashamed of. As Chris said this morning, you may believe that in some way you deserve to be hurt. That is not true. But sometimes we do. We think this is our fault. We deserve it. We're getting what we deserve. Or those things that happened to us in the past were our fault. We were to blame. Often the things that hurt us are things that have happened to us, either through circumstance or the actions of others. As in football, you might get a bad tackle. You might receive a hospital pass, as they call it, and somebody takes you out. But even if the hurt is self-inflicted, even if you have headbutted the goalpost, this does not matter. The hurt is still real. And it's nothing to be ashamed of. Being hurt is not an indication of weakness. I would argue that admitting when we're hurt can be a sign of strength. We all experience many events in our lives, don't we? Some good, some bad. In human terms, there's no rhyme or reason to it. Things happen suddenly and out of the blue, which might rock our idea of how life is, or it might challenge our faith in a good God. We or people close to us suffer illness, injury, bereavement, betrayal, abuse, relationship breakdown, loss of a job or income, loss of our home. Friends might let us down. A whole catalogue of issues, the above list is not exhaustive. As my parents liked to say when I was growing up, well, son, life isn't fair. And as Christians, we're not exempt from life's problems and difficulties. We are going to get hurt. Sometimes we'll be able to rise above life's hurts, or through prayer and the support of others, or maybe an external factor such as counselling or therapy, we can move on, we can keep things in perspective and put the hurt behind us. But sometimes, unexpectedly, we find ourselves caught out. We're blindsided by something that happens to us, and hurt takes root within us. So my first point this evening is this: there's no shame in being hurt. I believe there are folks listening tonight who might need to hear this loud and clear. You're hurting, and it's nothing to be ashamed of. It's not your fault. It's just a fact. If this is you, if you know you're struggling with a hurt of some sort, maybe going back years or maybe more recent, then I believe God is saying to you tonight, there is no shame in being hurt. You are loved, and being hurt is nothing to be ashamed of. My second point is this: there is no benefit in denying when we're hurt. The first step to dealing with any sort of problem is to recognise and acknowledge that it exists. Sometimes we bury painful things so deep that we might convince ourselves that we've forgotten them, or even we think we've dealt with them, only for the hurt to come roaring back to the surface when it's triggered by some event or other. If there's a part of your life or memories that you can't go to, then it will always have the capacity to come back and hurt you again. We might try running away from the pain, avoiding the person or people that have caused us hurt, or we might just ignore it. Chris spoke this morning of the ways people seek to numb their pain, perhaps with alcohol or drugs or other means. I did the Keys to Freedom course, whatever it was, a year or so ago, I think, and there's a whole section in that which is about dealing with past hurts. Because I'm a sort of fairly matter-of-fact sort of person, my life's been relatively straightforward, I came to that section and thought, well, this isn't that relevant to me. I don't really have any past hurts to be dealt with. You know, I just chug along. I've had one or two bad things happen over the years, including being made redundant, other things. But as far as I was concerned, there was nothing in my life that was particularly needing to be dealt with. So I thought, I'll have a 2 or 3 weeks of this. Sort of, you know, I can just cruise through it. But when we went through this part of the course and I prayed and asked God to show me any hurts in my life, he brought to mind some fairly minor things from my childhood, things that had been said to me in particular, which had become embedded in my psyche. I would say I'd forgotten about them, but I hadn't forgotten about them, and I still remember them. They're things that are said, and you take them on board, and they kind of become part of who you are. These were not positive things, they're generally negative. And they'd impacted on my whole view of myself and how I saw myself and how I saw myself before God, and where I saw my place in the church, in the world, in life generally. But once I'd identified those issues, it opened up the possibility of healing, and it allowed me to see myself more as God sees me and less as I'd come to see myself. Catherine said something similar this morning when she was talking about Hebron Hall and hearing from God and seeing herself more as God sees her. And that can be quite life-changing for us, I think, if we can get to that point where we see us as God sees us and understand what he's saying about us instead of maybe what others have said about us or even what we say about ourselves. It's not a question of wallowing in pain or digging out things that don't exist. That's not going to be helpful. But neither, I believe, should we pretend we're not hurting when we are. If, like me, you're someone who thinks you've dealt with hurts in your life and it's not an issue for you, but perhaps you sense a heaviness, a sense that God has something different for you, maybe. You don't quite know what it is. I used to get this heavy feeling. I still do occasionally, but not as often. But it's just think I just feel really quite low. I would encourage you to pray and ask God to show you anything in your life which has been hidden and perhaps needs to be dealt with. Maybe you know that you've grown a shell around an area of your life that's too painful to look at. I would ask you to encourage yourself a question, to borrow from Matt Hebditch, who's not here this evening. Ask yourself, what would it look like? What would it look like for you to be free of that burden? More importantly, perhaps, what would it feel like to be set free? You might not even believe freedom is possible. I didn't, I'll be honest. When we were sharing about these issues in Keys to Freedom, I'm pretty sure I remember saying, but this is who I am. This is how I feel. This is me. If this isn't me, then who am I? It's quite threatening, but it can be quite liberating if you're prepared to enter into that and accept that you might not be who you thought you were. I had no real sense of what I might be like as a person if I stopped believing certain things about myself, but I began to see that change might be possible. I'm still very much a work in progress, but I do get bursts of excitement about what God might have in store. But I do keep a lid on that, obviously. Come on. We're not Pentecostals, are we? Steady on. Yeah, so there is an excitement. Actually, an excitement. I had an excitement this evening about what God wants to do in us. If, to coin a phrase, we can get over ourselves. But however unlikely it might sound to you right now, I believe change is possible. I believe there's no benefit in denying when we're hurt, not just to wallow in hurt, but to give God that opportunity of coming in and showing us who he thinks we are and dealing with those issues for us. And that brings me on to my third point, which is this. When it comes to dealing with past hurts, I believe we need to start in the right place. We need to start in the right place. So when I was writing this down, I was thinking of the, I don't know if it's a joke or a story or what it is, but a guy trying to get somewhere in a strange place. Because he's a man, he obviously knows where he's going, doesn't need a map. But unexpectedly and strangely, he finds himself lost. So he stops to eventually, after his wife's given him a good nagging, he stops to ask the way. So he asks a passerby for directions, and the man he stops and asks says, "Well, I wouldn't start from here." Obviously, it's funny, isn't it? Because it's completely unhelpful. The man is here. I'm here. It's no good telling me not to start from here. This is where I am. I can't start from anywhere else other than where I am. And that is the same, isn't it, when it comes to dealing with our past hurts. We can only start from where we are. Our lives may not have taken the best route, but we are the sum total of the things that have happened to us. We're more than that besides, of course, but that's where we are, isn't it? The things that have happened to us have happened. We can't unhappen them. The events of our lives have shaped us and brought us to where we are. And in order to deal with our past hurts, we need to recognise where we are and how we've got here. But And here's the thing. It might be tempting to think that in order to deal with past hurts, we've got to start with ourselves. And in one sense, we do. We have to acknowledge we've got a problem or a difficulty or a hurt. But I would suggest to you this evening that if we want to truly deal with past hurts, then actually the place we have to start is with God. We need to position ourselves in the presence of the God who desires relationship with us, in the presence of the God who wants only good things for us. This God who loved us so much that he sent his Son to die on a cross for us. This God who is the creator of the heavens and of the earth and everything in it, and yet who stands at the door and knocks and waits to be heard and invited in. So when it comes to dealing with our past hurts, I believe we need to find the strength to look upwards instead of inwards, to seek the presence of the God who promises always to be with us, not to deny the hurt, but to invite him into it. And as we allow God by his Holy Spirit to work in our hearts, so as the oyster turns grit into a pearl, I believe God will redeem our hurt and transform it into something beautiful. This may require an act of will. We may not believe our pain can be redeemed. You might be sitting here this evening thinking you don't know what's happened in my life. It cannot be transformed into something beautiful. But I believe it can. As Chris said this morning, for some of us, dealing with past hurts will be a process and require outside help. But the change can begin today by the simple act of saying to God, please show me who you say I am. Please show me who you say I am. Please enter into my pain. Please show me what freedom looks like. We don't have to do this ourselves. We can't do it ourselves often. It requires an act of God. God did not cause our past hurts, but he is able to transform our present and our future. To paraphrase Isaiah 61, verse 3, he will bestow on us a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. We will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. He will bestow on us a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. We will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. It is not God's will that any of us should be hurt. I firmly believe that. It is inevitable that we will be hurt in different ways, but God desires for us to be set free. If we open ourselves up to him, he will walk with us through our hurt, and he is able to set us free. I'd like to finish by reading Psalm 30. And then there will be, I think we're going to have a little bit more worship, and there will be an opportunity for prayer if you want it. Psalm 30 says this, I will exalt you, O Lord, for you lifted me out of the depths and did not let my enemies gloat over me. O Lord, my God, I called to you for help and you healed me. O Lord, you brought me up from the grave. You spared me from going down into the pit. Sing to the Lord, you saints of his, praise his holy name, for his anger lasts only a moment, but his favour lasts a lifetime. Weeping may remain for a night, but rejoicing comes in the morning. When I felt secure, I said, I shall never be shaken. O Lord, when you favoured me, you made my mountain stand firm. But when you hid your face, I was dismayed. To you, O Lord, I called, to the Lord I cried for mercy. What gain is there in my destruction, in my going down into the pit? Will the dust praise you? Will it proclaim your faithfulness? Hear, O Lord, and be merciful to me. O Lord, be my help. You turned my wailing into dancing. You removed my sackcloth and clothed me with joy, that my heart may sing to you and not be silent. O Lord, my God, I will give you thanks forever. Shall we pray? Father God, we've only scratched the surface this evening in a short time of this topic of dealing with our past hurts. Father, I don't know where each of us are with this evening, but I know that you know and love each of us intimately. You know everything about us, and I know that you desire only good for us. I just pray that you would work in our hearts tonight and as we go away from here to help each of us to understand where we stand in your presence and how you see us, Father, not how we see ourselves, but how you see us. And to understand, Lord, that if we're willing, you will come in and you can take away the pain and the hurt from our past, things that hold us back or things that weigh us down, Father, that you can set us free. So, dear Lord, I just pray that whatever I've said this evening that is of me would fall away, but, Father, the things that are of you would remain and would touch our hearts, and that you would bless us. In your name, amen.